Chapter 12. Examine Yourselves by Ellen G. White. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Closely criticize the temper, the disposition, the thoughts, words, inclinations, purposes, and deeds. How can we ask intelligently for the things we need unless we prove by the Scriptures the condition of our spiritual health? Many in their religious life are making crooked paths for their feet. Their prayers are offered in a loose, haphazard manner. He who is placed in a position of responsibility should remember that of himself he is not able to do that which is required of him. Every day he should remember that he is a spectacle unto the world, to angels, and to men. No one is to wait to be born to fields of labor and provided with costly facilities for doing good. He who serves must cheerfully take up his work, however humble it is, and wherever he may be placed. Christ, our example in all things, was poor, that through his poverty he might make many rich. Serving in meekness. He whose heart is filled with the grace of God and love for his perishing fellow men will find opportunity, wherever he may be placed, to speak a word in season to those who are weary. Christians are to work for their master in meekness and lowliness, holding fast to their integrity amid the noise and bustle of life. God calls upon men to serve him in every transaction of life. Business is a snare when the law of God is not made the law of the daily life. He who has anything to do with the master's work is to maintain unswerving integrity. In all business transactions, as verily as when on bended knees he seeks help from on high, God's will is to be his will. He is to keep the Lord ever before him, constantly studying the subjects about which the Holy Word speaks. Thus, though living amid that which would debase a man of lax principles, the man of piety and stern integrity preserves his Christianity. The world is no more favorable today for the development of Christian character than in Noah's day. Then, wickedness was so widespread that God said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Yes, amid the corruption of that degenerate age, Noah was a pleasure to his Creator. We are living in the last days of this earth's history, in an age of sin and corruption. And like Noah, we are to so live that we shall be a pleasure to God, showing forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the prayer which Christ offered to his Father just before his crucifixion, he said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." The highest service. When men and women have formed characters which God can endorse, when their self-denial and self-sacrifice have been fully made, when they are ready for the final test, ready to be introduced into God's family, what service will stand highest in the estimation of him who gave himself a willing offering to save a guilty race? What enterprise will be most dear to the heart of infinite love? What work will bring the greatest satisfaction and joy to the Father and the Son? The salvation of perishing souls. Christ died to bring to men the saving power of the gospel. Those who cooperate with him in carrying forward his great enterprise of mercy, laboring with all the strength God has given them to save those nigh and afar off, will share in the joy of the Redeemer when the redeemed host stand around the throne of God. God has entrusted means and capabilities to his servants for the doing of a work far higher than that which, today, he looks upon. Oh, said the heavenly messenger, the Lord's institutions are terribly behind the greatness of the truths which are being fulfilled at the present time. There is a fearful misconception of the claims of duty. The frosty atmosphere in which believers are content to live retards the self-sacrificing movements which should be made to warn the world and save souls. The unnamed multitudes. The powers of darkness are working with an intensity of effort, and year by year, thousands of people from all kindreds, nations, and tongues pass into eternity, unwarned and unready. Our faith must mean something more definite, more decided, more important. Ask my institutions and churches, do you believe the Word of God? What then are you doing in missionary lines? Are you working with self-denial and self-sacrifice? Do you believe that the Word of God means what it says? Your actions show that you do not. How will you meet at the bar of God the countless millions who, unwarned, are passing into eternity? Will there be a second probation? No, no. This fallacy might just as well be given up at once. The present probation is all that we shall have. Do you realize that the salvation of fallen human beings must be secured in this present life, or they will be forever lost? Our responsibilities. The Laodicean message is applicable to the church at this time. Do you believe this message? Have you hearts that feel? Or are you constantly saying, we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing? Is it in vain that the declaration of eternal truth has been given to this nation to be carried to all the nations of the world? God has chosen a people and made them the repositories of truth, weighty with eternal results. To them has been given the light that must illuminate the world. Has God made a mistake? Are we indeed His chosen instrumentalities? Are we the men and women who are to bear to the world the messages of Revelation 14, to proclaim the message of salvation to those who are standing on the brink of ruin? Do we act as if we were? What are we doing? In a clear, determined voice, the messenger said, I ask you what you are doing. Oh, that you could comprehend! Oh, that you could understand the importance of the warning and what it means to you and to the world! If you did understand, if you were filled with the spirit of the one who gave his life for the life of the world, you would cooperate with him, making earnest, self-sacrificing efforts to save sinners. A Great Awakening. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A great awakening must come to the church. If we only knew, if we only understood, how quickly the spirit of the message would go from church to church. How willingly would the possessions of believers be given to support the work of God? God calls upon us to pray and watch unto prayer. Cleanse your homes of the picture idols which have consumed the money that ought to have flowed into the Lord's treasury. The light must go forth as a lamp that burneth. Those who bear the message to the world should seek the Lord earnestly, that His Holy Spirit may be abundantly showered upon them. You have no time to lose. Pray for the power of God, that you may work with success for those nigh and afar off. Warnings to be given. We must have genuine faith. As yet, we scarcely grasp the reality of the truth. We only half believe the Word of God. A man will act out all the faith he has. Notwithstanding that the signs of the times are fulfilling all over the world, faith in the Lord's coming has been growing feeble. Clear, distinct, certain, the warnings are to be given. At the peril of our souls, we are to learn the prescribed conditions under which we are to work out our own salvation, remembering that it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It will not do for us to float along with the current, guided by tradition and presumptuous fallacies. We are called laborers together with God. Then let us arise and shine. There is no time to spend in controversy. Those who have a knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus must now become one in heart and purpose. All differences must be swept away. The members of the church must work unitedly under the great head of the church. Arise, shine. Let those who have a knowledge of the truth arise and shine. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. No longer mutilate the truth. Let the soul cry out for the living God. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. The Comforter will come to you, if you will open the door to him. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Daily surrender. I arise this morning at 1 o'clock, have tried to sleep, but cannot. I am feeling deeply over the work which is to be done all around us. Whichever way we may turn, we find temporal and spiritual poverty. Sometimes my spirit is weighed down, but although I see the great need soliciting our attention at every place we go, we need not feel that the burden rests upon us. There is one who is our burden bearer. Neither are we capable of bearing the sins of others. Our message.
We have always a decided message to bear. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Satan will cast his hellish shadow athwart our pathway, and if we allow our eyes to rest on this shadow, we cannot discern the light which is beyond. Whatever discouragement may appear to our human sight, we must ever remember that there is infinity beyond the darkness. Our faith cannot, must not, for a moment sink in that dark shadow. Light beyond is shining for every soul of us. Our voice, our words, must testify of that light. If the life we live in this world is wholly and entirely for Christ, it is a life of daily surrender. He has the free will service, and each soul is his own jewel. If we can impress upon the minds of our sisters the good which it is in their power to do through the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall see a large work accomplished. But this work can be done only through the Holy Spirit. If we can arouse the mind and heart to cooperate with the great worker, we shall gain through the work they may accomplish great victories. But self must be hidden. Christ must appear as the worker. Christ invites us, "Abide in me, and I in you." Cannot we bring these souls to understand without a moment's delay that every day is the ever-present now? Receiving and giving. There must ever be an interchange of taking in and giving out, receiving and restoring. This links us up as laborers together with God. Not one expression of unbelief is to come from our lips under the hardest trial. Heaven is much nearer to earth when every soul who knows the truth expresses it in word and action. The giving out ever expresses the truth and increases the power of taking in. This is the life work of the Christian. He that will lose his life will find it. The capacity for receiving the holy oil from the two olive trees which empty themselves is by the receiver emptying that holy oil out of himself in word and in action to supply the necessities of other souls. Work, precious, satisfying work, to be constantly receiving and constantly imparting. The capacity for receiving is only kept up by imparting. Isaiah 58 explains the matter. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. We need and must have fresh supplies every day. And how many souls we may help by communicating to them. All heaven is waiting for channels through whom can be poured the holy oil to be a joy and refreshing to others. We may work continuously and solidly so that our work may abide if Christ is abiding with us. I have no fears of any person making blundering work if he will only become one with Christ. The divine fullness will flow through the consecrated human agent to be given forth to others. Linked with the unchanging Jesus himself, there is a representation of Christ in character. Truth, our Savior continually insisted upon, must be sought after, found, and given to others. He, our Lord and Savior, insisted that we should sell all to secure the treasure. Self-sacrifice must be seen in this path at every step. There is to be no lifting up of self, not a thread of self-seeking, for this always separates from Christ. When we feel oppressed, as we often will, I find it is my best remedy to talk of the light and love of God. My soul is strengthened and blessed, for I draw nigh unto God, and he draws nigh to me, and lifts up for me a standard against the enemy. In hard places. Often God's soldiers find themselves brought into hard and difficult places, they know not why. But are they to relax their hold because difficulties arise? Is their faith to diminish because they cannot see their way through the darkness? God forbid. They are to cherish an abiding sense of God's power to uphold them in their work. They cannot perish, neither can they lose their way if they will follow his guidance and strive to uphold his law. Walk in the light. I was shown that God's people dwell too much under a cloud. It is not his will that they should live in unbelief. Jesus is light, and in him is no darkness at all. His children are the children of light. They are renewed in his image and called out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is the light of the world, and so also are they that follow him. They shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The more closely the people of God strive to imitate Christ, the more perseveringly will they be pursued by the enemy. But their nearness to Christ strengthens them to resist the efforts of our wily foe to draw them from Christ.